step into the dynamic world of the Joe Kelly Show podcast, streaming straight from the state-of-the-art radio studios of WDBO in sunny Orlando, Florida. You're just seconds away from immersing yourself in Joe's unparalleled perspective on the most pressing current events, the latest news, and everything in between.
Well, it certainly seems like Disney has been getting a lot of grief lately from Governor DeSantis, and Disney is also getting a lot of grief from the U.S. Congress, as the U.S. Congress is now looking at taking away Disney's no-fly zone, and that is what we're going to be talking about here this half hour. And you can hit me up at 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. Or use the open mic in the WDBO app. Do you think that the federal government should revoke Disney's no-fly zone privilege that they have at both parks, by the way, both here in Florida and in Anaheim? They've got a no-fly. I don't even know if you guys are aware of that they've got a no-fly zone over their park. And the U.S. Congress is now saying, and they're kind of taking the lead here from Governor DeSantis. So the U.S. Congress is saying that, hey, you know what? This park, Disney, has a special privilege that other parks don't have, and that's not fair. So they want to revoke Disney's no-fly zone. 844-580-WDBO, or use the open mic in the WDBO app. Now, let me give you a little bit of background and tell you how I feel about this. So the no-fly zone did not exist over Disney until the year 2003, which, as you might recall, was about 2 years after 2001, right? What happened in 2001? The 9/11 attacks of 2001. That's what happened, and that is ostensibly why Disney campaigned to get a no-fly zone over their parks so that they would not have any terror attacks. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but on 9/11/2001, that morning, the Disney theme parks opened for the day, regular business, but after it became clear that the United States was under attack, that is when the Disney parks closed. That was something that had never happened before, that Disney closed their parks after having already opened them for the day, but they told everybody to go home. And they closed down the parks, and if memory serves, they stayed closed for a couple days after that. And they hadn't seen a closure like that until the pandemic hit, and then they were closed for quite some time after the pandemic hit. But again, the main argument, and keep in mind that Disney has expensive lobbyists who are able to, you know, lobby and give campaign contributions and give donations, to members of Congress and to members of the state legislature. Disney has been lining the pockets of lawmakers for decades. And I'm sure that's going to continue once they kind of get past this bumpy road that they're in right now with Governor DeSantis and other members of the Republican Party. What the Republicans want to do is end the no-fly zone because Disney is the only park that has it, and they don't believe that it is fair. They say that they have a commercial advantage, and by doing so, they're able to ban aerial advertising and sightseeing helicopters over their parks. Now, the legislation's co-sponsors include some of the firebrand conservatives like Congresswoman Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, along with Florida Representative Greg Stube. I agree with the Congress that Disney has an unfair advantage, that they have a no-fly zone. But I think the solution to it is not to revoke Disney's no-fly zone, but to implement no-fly zones over Universal's property and over SeaWorld's property. I think that is a better solution to make a more even playing field than revoking Disney's no-fly zone. And I'll tell you for two reasons. One, if, God forbid, if we once again are under a terror attack in the United States and terrorists use airplanes, jets, jetliners, helicopters, some sort of aerial vehicle to attack our theme park, I mean, that would have long-lasting repercussions, negative repercussions for our economy, for our community. I mean, could you imagine if a 737 was crashed, you know, right in the middle or right into Cinderella's castle. I mean, that would be very, very difficult for Disney and for our community to recover from something like that. That is issue number one. Issue number two for me, for the no-fly zones, are, quite frankly, drones. As an FAA-licensed drone pilot myself, I will tell you that if they drop the no-fly zone over Disney, I'll be the first person flying a drone over Disney to try to get some really cool imagery. And every amateur drone pilot is going to be doing the exact same thing. You're going to have drones falling from the sky, landing on people and cast members at the Disney theme parks. I just think with the activity of drones today, and there's only going to be more drones in the future and not less, I think that the no-fly zone over Disneyland and Disney World is, frankly, a good idea. 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. We'll start off with TJ joining us from Castleberry. Hello, TJ. How are you?
I am great, Joe. And I got to start with saying I think your idea of a like park no-fly zone in general that made everybody in the same game covered by the same no-fly. I happened to work at Walt Disney World for years. I was there on 9/11 working at the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa.
That had to have been chilling on that day for Disney cast members.
It was terrifying, and it was also quite incredible. I'm going to try not to get emotional.
Yeah.
But what most people don't know is that on any given day, there's about 155,000 people on that property. The property as a whole.
Yeah.
Just short of 70,000 in just Magic Kingdom. Additionally, I worked at the Grand Floridian. We consistently had, and Disney does a fabulous job of keeping this super under wraps, heads of state from all over the world, crown princes, and at that time we did have some staying at the Grand Floridian. They actually scrambled fighters from MacDill. We were being told, hey, there's going to be fighters. They phase closed the parks. It was Disney does that kind of thing best to get a park emptied. Nobody was flipping out. Nobody knew at that point what was going on. They also shut off cable television to all the resorts.
Oh, wow.
So people didn't know what was happening yet. We had people stuck for days because of the ground transportation and air transportation being
shut down. That's right.
But the most amazing thing, I'll end this on a good note. In the lobby, the atrium lobby of the Grand Floridian, there's a piano player that played every afternoon. And we had a huge contingent of British folks in town at that time. And he played God Bless America. And everyone was lining the rails of the five floors.
That's cool.
Of the atrium.
I've been there. It's beautiful. And I bet it was amazing.
Everyone stopped and sang.
Yeah.
And I still, to this day, that brings tears to my eyes.
Remember how cool it was, even though it was such a terrible day in our American history, but it was just so refreshing to see America united for a change. And that didn't last very long.
Absolutely.
Didn't last long.
No. But it's terrible. Horrible that it took that kind of tragedy, but...
So the question for you, though, TJ, is should Disney maintain a no-fly zone, or should they lose that status, as members of Congress want to do?
I think they definitively need to keep that no-fly zone, but I agree with you that it should be extended to the other two major large capacity parks in the area, which are all quite frankly pretty close together.
They are. And you know, some people in our chat room, for example, Karen writes that she sees helicopters fly over Disney. You don't see helicopters fly over Disney. You see helicopters fly very close to Disney. In fact, I think they're able to fly over Disney Springs. That's not in the no-fly zone. But the Disney properties itself are in the no-fly zone, and that's why the helicopters have to skirt that area. But they fly right over SeaWorld and right over Universal Orlando Resort because those aren't no-fly zones. And back in 2003, when this law was implemented, when this no-fly zone was put in place, that was really before we had drones to the extent that we have them today. And honestly, if there wasn't a no-fly zone already because of drones, there should be one now because of drones. And I say that as a drone enthusiast and a drone pilot. I just believe that there are too many bad actors in the world of drones that not only will they crash their drones or just be invasive, intrusive with their drones in the theme parks, but it's nothing for someone to strap a stick of dynamite onto a drone and fly it into a theme park. That's only a matter of time. I had mentioned a while back that I was at I went to Monster Jam at Camping World Stadium a couple months ago, and I watched as somebody flew a drone from over the back of the grandstand down into the bowl. Clearly, this drone was not part of the action there or part of the coverage there. It was not an official drone from Monster Jam. And that was just some ding-dong who flew his drone into the bowl of Camping World Stadium. And I'm telling you, somebody, one of these days, I'm hoping to get my driver's license soon, as I hit puberty. But one of these days, somebody is going to stick a stick of dynamite on one of those drones. I mean, this is what they're doing in Ukraine right now. They're using commercial drones that you can buy at your hobbyist stores. And they're using those kinds of drones and they're weaponizing them. This is nothing for a civilian to do that, to weaponize a drone, to drop it into Camping World Stadium, to drop it into Disney World, to drop it into SeaWorld. These, you know, animal rights activists, can you imagine if they would, you know, get a drone and fly it into you know, where Shamu swims around? I mean, it's not hard to imagine that happening. Let's go to Rob in Orlando, joining us at 844-580-WDBO. Rob, you're on the Joe Kelly Show on WDBO. Hi.
Hi, Joe. Pleasure to talk to you again.
Thank you, sir.
I agree with you. I think that the fly zone should be maintained. Not only that, a fly zone should be existed also on the other parks, because there's a lot of people, kids, that go there. And if someone can go to a school with a gun and do the damages that has been done, they could do the same thing with a drone, especially with a drone like you mentioned it. You buy a drone anywhere, and then you can use it. I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, look, I have flown over Camping World Stadium in the past. I have flown down into the bowl in Camping World Stadium in the past. But I have done it when there is no event going on whatsoever.
Right.
There are very specific rules about flying drones over humans. It is generally illegal to fly over humans. You're allowed to transit.
Oh, yeah.
That is, you can as long as you're crossing over them, you can do that. Can't hover over humans. And yet I see people doing it all the time.
Right.
And it's infuriating because it is bad actors that. Even if they're not terrorists, they're just bad drone pilots, and they make it bad for all the rest of us.
Or the good ones. And
yeah.
I think that if you the guns are illegal in school, and look what's happening.
Yep.
Crazy. There's a lot of crazy people out there.
Oh, Rob.
You cannot give them you cannot open the door.
Yeah.
You cannot open the doors.
Thank you so much, Rob, for listening.
Joe.
Thanks for your call. Have a great weekend. Don't forget, it's Mother's Day this weekend, so don't forget moms. Don't forget the mother of your children, guys. And then, of course, don't forget your mom as well. My name is Joe Kelly. The number is 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. You can use the open mic and the WDBO app. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, we're going to get to our Friday night fun and games. We do have a couple of showers that are starting to pop up right now. Nothing severe, but we'll keep a close eye on that. We'll check our drive for you coming up in just a second as well. It's the Joe Kelly Show. Look for the Joe Kelly Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere else. You can click the on-demand button in the WDBO app and be able to get the Joe Kelly Show podcast there as well. More of your calls and comments coming up straight ahead here on the Joe Kelly Show on WDBO. Thank you so much for joining us here on your Friday drive home. A couple of showers are popping up, but nothing like we've seen earlier this week. Nothing like we've seen last week. It's just a couple of little showers. We'll keep an eye on that for you and let you know. If you're just joining us here on the Joe Kelly Show, GOP members of Congress want to take away Disney's no-fly zone status. And I think that's a bad idea. I do agree with the Congress in that it's an unfair advantage for Disney. But instead of removing Disney's no-fly zone, I would add no-fly zones to Universal Orlando Resort and to SeaWorld. I think it's just a matter of Disney has better lobbyists than the other theme parks have or have had. So let me know your thoughts right now. You can call me at 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326, or use the open mic in the WDBO app.
Hey, Joe. I do agree with you as far as the no-fly zone. I think that should stay in place. However, for a terrorist, if he wants to cause harm and damage to any of the Disney parks, do you really think they're going to care about a no-fly zone? I mean, they're going to do it anyway, right? So same thing with the drones. I mean, if anybody wants to hurt somebody, they're not going to care about a no-fly zone, kind of like the concealed carry. You're not going to stop a criminal.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, and we've got a couple of open mics like that. Yeah,
again, Joe, you're absolutely wrong. Anyone who wanted to do some damage isn't going to follow the freaking no-fly zone anyway.
Yeah, so yeah, those are, yeah.
Joe Kelly.
Yes, and this one.
We need to get rid of you. Where is Sean at 5 o'clock? You're a commie. Go back to wherever you came from, and please bring back Sean.
So
thank you.
Anybody but Sean Hannity is a commie. Got it. Check. Thank you. You'll be able to hear the third hour of the Sean Hannity Show coming up this afternoon at 7 o'clock. For anybody who says a criminal's going to do it anyway, whether there's a no-fly zone or not. Now, I can't speak to airplanes, but I can speak to the drones, to the drone aspect of it. Most drones that are advanced enough, that are strong enough to be able to carry, say, a stick of dynamite, or to be able to carry some sort of biological poison, some sort of toxin, and be able to terrorize people in a theme park, most good drones like that are literally blocked, like hitting a brick wall, if there is a no-fly zone. If there is a no-fly zone, most good drones won't be able to penetrate it. So it's not an honor system. It's not like concealed carry, where you're kind of on an honor system about whether or not you're carrying. This truly technologically stops a drone from going in. Believe me, I have tried in the past. Most likely, most times, inadvertently, I have flown my drone and have been puzzled as to why my drone suddenly stopped midair. And then as I pull up a map and I realize, oh, goodness, I was about to enter a no-fly zone. That's why it stopped. And so for drones, it's not a matter of, well, people who want to commit the crime are going to commit it anyway, because technologically speaking, they're going to have a real hard time doing that. Hit me up right now at 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. Or use the open mic and the WDBO app. My name is Joe Kelly. You're listening to The Joe Kelly Show on WDBO.
Hello, this is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Your payroll payout app is indicating it's too late. It's currently 5:25, but I think the word just got announced. Maybe that was running late, so the app won't take the keyword. Thank you.
Yep, so a good question, and obviously that open mic is dated back to 5:25, so 10 minutes or so ago. And yes, by 5:25, it's too late. We opened the window to take the keyword for 15 minutes, and Laurel announced the keyword right at the top of the hour at 5 o'clock, repeated it at about 5:03, and whenever the keyword gets announced at the top of the hour, you have exactly 15 minutes, which we think is plenty of time to hear the keyword, open up your phone, open up the app, and input it into the app. And after 15 minutes, the window does close. So yeah, the app is working exactly as it is supposed to. I'm afraid you just got in on it a little bit too late. But the good news is you'll have another chance to win coming up first thing Monday morning at 8 a.m. here on WDBO, on the Scott Inez, Orlando's Morning News with Scott Inez. Now, we've had some reaction to this.
Joe Kelly, we need to get rid of you. Where is Sean at 5 o'clock? You're a commie. Go back to wherever you came from, and please bring back Sean. Thank you.
So we've got, yeah, here's a few.
Hey, Joe, I just want to say you're not a commie. You're exactly what this country needs. Somebody who is actually willing to listen to both sides of the aisle and actually rationally come to a conclusion and debate whether or not it is better for our country to go this direction or this direction instead of aligning with party lines only.
Thank you. Yeah, in fact, I even though, again, I state this pretty much every night, even though I'm a registered Republican and voted for Donald Trump twice, I have zero allegiance to the Republican Party, zero allegiance to Donald Trump, zero allegiance to the Democrat Party, zero allegiance to the Communist Party, for sure. I don't have any allegiance to parties, period. In fact, I'm wearing my Jesus and the 12 Salvation Tour shirt. That is my only allegiance. My only allegiance is to Jesus and to no political parties, to no individual people. If you're just joining us, we're talking about members of Congress, GOP members of Congress, want to get rid of Disney's no-fly zone. I argue that I understand their point in that Disney has an unfair advantage. So, but I would suggest instead of getting rid of Disney's no-fly zone, we should add no-fly zones over Universal Orlando Resort and over SeaWorld here in Central Florida. And then out in California, they can figure out their own theme park issues out there. But I think that that we need these no-fly zones in place.
This whole thing about the no-fly zone, I get it. But it's like you can have those in place, but it's like guns. If people want to do something bad, they're still going to do it. You can't stop bad people, regardless of what you do.
You can call 844-580-WDBO.
I disagree, Joe, and I agree with you 99.9% of the time. Like everybody else is saying, if you're not worried about breaking the law and murder, then why would you not worry about the no-fly zone?
Yeah, the no-fly zone, again, if you've got a drone and it is we had an open mic that said, you know, you can reconfigure your drone. Sure, you can. There is a way to reconfigure your drone so that it can get past no-fly zones, but it is incredibly complicated to be able to do so. The average person is not going to know how to do that. That's for sure.
So if you fly into Disney, do they shoot you down with a Mickey missile?
wouldn't that be something?
And I wanted to point out too that if there is a no-fly zone and something is flying over, it's going to be a little weirder and people are going to pay attention. At you know, if instead everybody's flying over all the time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if a bad actor does get in, nobody would even take a second look at it, right? Because that happens all the time. There's a no-fly zone and that's happening, you might be like, hey, okay, that's not right, right?
Right. And think about how annoying it would be to have all those advertising banners flying over Disney all the time. Because as the caller said, the cast member that called in earlier, I think it was TJ, who said that there's 150,000 people in the park on any given day. That's a huge audience to advertise to. Whenever there's an event at Camping World Stadium, we see the banner planes flying all the time around Camping World Stadium. And certainly, could you imagine all those planes flying over the theme parks all the time, and then tourist helicopters and then drones? I mean, that would be incredibly crowded airspace in those situations. 844-580-WDBO. Let's go to Kissimmee, where Michael is joining us on the Joe Kelly Show. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Joe. You just stole my thunder.
Oh. You want me to? I'll edit all that out.
Yeah, right.
So the thunder is yours.
I agree with you. I agree with you that we should have no fly zone in all the parks for the reason that you just mentioned about the advertising. It's like I have been to the park. I think I was at Disney actually way back in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, and I get my fun, the magic, whatever you want to call it, was interrupted by a loud plane engine going over, flying low with the big banner going across and taking my mind off of all the fun I was having. Now I got to go look at this thing, and then I don't want to be thinking about lawyers and what restaurant has what this and that. You know, it's just, you know, I don't want that. I want to have my experience. I want I don't want to have those advertisers messing up my fun.
Yeah, I feel the same way about that as well. And that's one of that was the vision that Walt Disney had. That's why there's a giant berm that goes all the way around Disney, and it's kind of the same berm that the steam train drives around or trains around. But he deliberately built a berm, a big mound around the entire park so that anybody who's in the park can't see the outside world, and anybody who's outside the park can't see the magic. And that was
exactly.
That was done on purpose, and not, you know, not that the federal government's job is to protect the magic at Disney World, but
right.
But, you know, not having those banners flying over constantly or helicopters flying over constantly, to me, would be just a huge benefit. And I think it would benefit the other theme parks just as much. 844-580-WDBO. David is in Daytona Beach here on the Joe Kelly Show on WDBO. Hi, David.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Good.
All right. So I believe the Pentagon has a no-fly zone over it.
I am so sorry. You believe who has a no-fly zone?
I believe the Pentagon has a no-fly zone.
The Pentagon, okay, yep.
And that didn't stop the terrorists. So, but on as far as drones and advertising, just safety-wise, if there's tons of drones flying over, there'd be more chance of people getting hurt. And I really don't want to go see a bunch of advertising. So I think that's okay.
So you're down for the no-fly zone, even though, as you alluded, it didn't help the Pentagon.
If it was totally just to protect against terrorist activity, it won't work.
Because if a plane or a helicopter were to, say, fly into a no-fly zone, the first thing that would happen is that a air traffic controller would contact that plane or helicopter and say, hey, you're in a no-fly zone. You need to, you know, divert immediately. And if they don't divert, I mean, they'll send fighter jets up. And from MacDill, it wouldn't take long for fighter jets to get to Disney. And just out of curiosity, I'm looking at the Washington, D.C. area. And pretty much the entire D.C. area is a no-fly zone. I don't know what the case was back in 2001. I would imagine it was also in 2001 a no-fly zone. But I've got an app that tells me where all the no-fly zones are, and pretty much the whole district is a no-fly zone. So you are right about that.
Just food for thought.
Thank you, David, so much for calling. I appreciate that. Have a great weekend. 844-580-WDBO. I'm going to add something else to the conversation here tonight. The Ohio Senate is having a problem finding law enforcement officers. Ohio is having a hard time fielding police positions. That has been a problem in every state in America, except for Florida. In fact, Florida, because of Governor Ron DeSantis offering $5,000 bonuses and higher salaries for law enforcement officials, we, Florida, are advertising in other states for law enforcement officials. And many of them are leaving other law agencies to move to Florida because we pay more and we offer a $5,000 sign-on bonus for law enforcement officials. So in Ohio, they're having a hard time finding enough cops. So the Ohio Senate is advancing a proposal to lower the minimum age requirement for police officers from 21 to 18. What do you think about that? Do you want an 18-year-old pulling you over? Are you going to feel confident with an 18-year-old showing up at your house when your Uncle Eddie is being a little manic? You want an 18-year-old with a gun showing up at your house when your child picks up the phone and calls 911 and is misbehaving? I mean, an 18-year-old, do you really trust? We had this discussion yesterday about what is an adult? At what age are you an adult? And 18, I don't want to besmirch all 18-year-olds because I know a couple of 18-year-olds that are some of the most astounding and wonderful and mature people I've ever met. But boy, there's a whole lot of 18-year-olds that are just absolute dingleberries and have no business having a badge and a gun and worse, authority. And I just think that's a terrible idea. Ohio, if you want to have more cops, pay them more. Pay more for your law enforcement officials. Don't give us 18-year-old cops. What do you think? 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. Use the open mic and the WDBO app. We'll take your calls. Comments coming up straight ahead. Stay right there. We'll continue.
Everyone's logic is flawed. If you're going to say bad people are going to do what bad people do, then why have laws against murder?
Yeah, right. Why have laws anyway?
Hey, back in the days, like the 90s and stuff, used to have a pilot that would fly over Disney and do, like, write Jesus in the sky with the smoke and stuff. Plus, you had the banner flames. Disney did that to block people from seeing their projects. That's all. It's our airspace. Let's take it back.
Let's take it back. All right, James. A couple of thoughts there. First, the skywriter that does the Jesus skywriting, that is such, I love the name of that charity that does that. They're called Holy Smokes. And it wasn't just back in the 90s. They still do it to this day, but they're not actually in Disney airspace when they do that. They're just outside Disney airspace when the Holy Smokes does the Jesus messages in the sky there. And I do agree with you in that. And let me get to the latter part of your point here.
Disney did that to block people from seeing their projects.
Yeah, I have no doubt that when Disney back in 2003 had their lobbyists campaign for a no-fly zone, I am 100% certain that it wasn't just for the safety of their parks. I am 100% certain that they also did that as a means of having more privacy in the parks. So I don't believe that their motives were purely altruistic. I do believe that they were in their own self-interest as well in that scenario. But that doesn't mean that they're wrong today. And it doesn't mean that their flight restrictions should be taken away today. I would just extend them to the other sensitive areas, the other theme parks.
Joe, the fly zone is not big enough to scramble the fighter jets. On top of that, you really think they're going to shoot an airplane or a helicopter down? They let a freaking balloon go across the entire country.
Well, and keep in mind that the balloon was, and I don't know the exact elevation, but I think it was at roughly 60,000 feet, which is twice as high as most commercial airliners. And typically, no-fly zones do not extend into the stratosphere. No-fly zones typically only extend for several hundred feet above a property. That way, airliners are still able to fly over Disney without having to swerve around that. If an airliner is flying from, say, Havana to New York City, they shouldn't have to swerve because of Walt Disney World down below. And they don't, because the no-fly zone does not extend that high. My name is Joe Kelly. We will continue with our Friday night fun and games. That'll be coming up next on WDBO. Oh, it is like a blender with the lid off. You don't know exactly what's going to happen. You don't know how high it's going to go. You don't know if it's going to make a giant mess everywhere or if it's going to be contained inside the blender. It's the Joe Kelly Show on WDBO at 844-580-WDBO. It's 844-580-9326. You can use the open mic and the WDBO app. If you are just joining us here on this Friday, of course, at this hour, 6 o'clock, we usually do our fun and games. We will again tonight. I do want to get to some more of our phone calls, though. We've got a couple of topics we're discussing right now, one of which is GOP members of Congress. This is not DeSantis. This is a federal issue, but there's a no-fly zone over Disney. It's been in place since 2003. Ostensibly, it was put in place because of the terror attacks of 9/11/2001. And now members of Congress are taking a cue from DeSantis and wondering why Disney has this special privilege of a no-fly zone. So they're looking at revoking the no-fly zone over Disney. I would argue to keep the no-fly zone there, but to make it an even playing field, put a no-fly zone over SeaWorld and over Universal Orlando Resort as well, at least, you know, for 400 feet or so. Make sure that those are no-fly zones. And then we're talking about, I just brought this up, that in Ohio, they don't have enough cops in Ohio, so they want to lower the age, the minimum age of being a cop from 21 to 18. Let's get to the phones here at 844-580-WDBO. Chris is in Deltona. Chris has also joined us in our chat on the WDBO Facebook page. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
Glad
thank you.
Glad to call in again.
Me too.
Yeah. So, all right. So, perspective here. I've been in healthcare all my life, or no, all of my
adult life,
18 plus.
Right.
Yeah, old adult life. And you know, I'm a nurse practitioner now, but I started out in EMS as an 18-year-old paramedic. So I agree that law enforcement, they should be 21, because I was way too young when I started.
No kidding. That's interesting. In hindsight, you look back at that and you think that. I started radio.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing, but I started radio when I was 15 years old. And I don't know that was old enough to be on the radio, quite frankly, you know?
Yeah, but I was making decisions for people's lives.
Yeah.
I mean, I was late 18s, but
still,
I got my EMT. You have to be an EMT and then a paramedic. You have to go through it. My last year of high school, I went through EMT school and passed my tests.
Wow.
And then, you know, before I became 19, I was a paramedic.
Well,
because I went to school.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah, great, great advancement.
Well, no,
congratulations
no,
to
not,
you.
I'm not trying to toot my own horn.
No, I get that.
I'm just saying.
But do you think that was too young?
Yes, because it's rough now. You know what I mean? Like, I look back on things and it's.
And I would think from your perspective, as well as from a law enforcement official's perspective, you're also exposed to horrific things, horrific scenes, horrific smells, horrific emotions. I mean, there's got to be so much that you go through to process. And I would think as an 18-year-old, be it either in law enforcement or as a paramedic or in healthcare, that's got to be tough.
Yeah, 18-year-olds are not... you know, mentally, they're not there for that. They're not ready for it.
Chris,
you know?
Thank you so much for your call, and thank you for joining us in our chat room. I sure do appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Now, I will say that there's a piece. I like to say that I learn on this radio show as much as I hope you guys learn on this radio show. And there was a piece that I didn't think about. In my opposition to lowering the police minimum age to 18. And Betty in Ocoee, I think, is going to make that point. Hi, Betty. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Yeah, so I was heading along the line of the previous caller, only from my perspective, I was working in an office at age 14. I was doing payroll at age 15. you know, people might think, well, you were too young to be doing payroll. No, I was responsible. And as long as somebody's responsible, they can be in any position at any age. Okay, that's my position. And as far as the 18-year-olds are concerned, we let them go off to war. Why can't they carry a badge?
Yeah, that was the element I didn't think about. And Betty, I think you make a good point with that. And as I ponder that, though, I feel like 18-year-olds that go off to war, 18-year-olds that are in the military, have a massive support structure around them. They don't get sent out into the field alone, whereas cops do. And I feel like an 18-year-old out in a patrol car alone is so far removed from any kind of supervision that could be of help to him. I know that he's got his radio, he's got his computer in his cruiser, and he's able to call in backup and everything else like that. But I just don't feel like the support system is in place for a police officer quite the same as it is in the military. And Betty, I feel like the better solution for them in Ohio is simply to raise the pay for law enforcement officials rather than lowering the standards.
Now, that's their problem, but you know, if you want good quality people, you're going to pay for what you get.
Yep,
you know, that's
you're absolutely right
line.
About that. Betty, so much. I appreciate your call. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight and for listening to WDBO. Mark in Orlando, I think you got kind of the same perspective on 18-year-old cops.
Yeah, and you're a little wrong about the military, but that was the point I had. Plus, they vote at 18 now. And Of course, I'm from the generation that ruined the 18-year-old drinking age. But but the military that has military police, they're armed all the time, and they do go around and patrol just like normal cops. So they're not, that support structure you just mentioned isn't really there for them. And when you're out on patrol in a battle zone, you're not always with that big support structure you're talking about. So, yeah. You know, if 18 is an issue, then it's an issue across the board.
Yeah, you guys make good points about that, Mark. Thank you so much. I'm glad you called. You can join me at 844-580-WDBO. You can use the open mic and the WDBO app. It is Friday night. And of course, on a Friday night, everybody's been working hard all week. And we like to unwind, have a little bit of fun on a Friday night. And we've got some trivia. We've got generational trivia. So here on this show, how many of us do we have here? There's one, two, three, four. There's four of us or five? Am I counting five? One, two, three, four, five. Hang on. Arushi.
There's four.
Okay, so there's four of us here. And we're gonna do generational trivia. There's three on the screen. There's five of us. Yeah, because we're not counting Paul. You got to count Paul.
Oh, I'm like, oh my gosh. Yes. I'm so sorry, Paul Cross.
Yeah, Paul, sorry about that. Arushi doesn't see you. And I mean that literally and figuratively. She doesn't see you.
She just does not recognize me.
Right. You're not
as
in
a
her,
human.
You're not in her visual spectrum or emotional spectrum or any other spectrum whatsoever. So we've got generational trivia questions, and we're all in different generations. Laurel, you're part of what generation?
I'm a millennial.
Millennial. Randy, you're part of what generation?
I am Generation Z.
Arushi, you're part of what generation?
Generation Z.
Paul Cross, you're part of what generation?
I am on the cusp of the boomer and being a Joe Kelly fanatic, so whatever you are.
And Laurel, what generation am I?
You're an X.
Paul, what generation am I?
Boomer. I'm just kidding.
No.
Just
kidding. No.
You're an X, I think.
Generation X? I think that sounds right.
I think you're an X, yeah.
All right.
It ended the 1 year that I was born, of course, so I'm on the cusp.
All right, Laurel, go ahead with our first question. Play along at home. Let us know if, try to get these answers depending on your age. No, I think I can get them all. Are you ready? Go.
From 1952 until his death in 1999, King Hussein was the ruler of this Middle Eastern country.
Arushi.
No.
Randy.
Iran.
Good guess, no.
I can't ask Laurel since you asked the question. Paul Cross, I know you know the answer.
Iraq.
Nope.
Wait, say it again. What's the question again?
From 1952 until his death in 1999, King Hussein, Hussein.
Oh. Is it Saudi Arabia?
Nope. Was the ruler of this Middle Eastern country.
Gosh,
I
guess I don't.
Hussein and-
I guess I don't know the answer to that then.
The answer is Jordan.
Huh. You said those questions were going to be easy.
I told they're either so easy I'm not doing them or they're so hard that I might say some of the words wrong.
I noticed that.
Randy, what's the next question?
The misconduct of what movie mogul sparked the Me Too movement?
Arushi.
Is this the Harvey Weinstein?
It was Harvey Weinstein.
Ah, Arushi, all right.
Wait, I got
the
point.
She's so startled.
Oh my
So startled. You should just
okay.
You should retire.
Take the rest
right now.
Of the night off, Arushi.
That's what I was just saying. Retire right
Take
now.
It off.
That's right. We'll give her the big award, the big plaque.
I won.
All right, here's your next question. Are you ready? Bernard Goetz made news in 1984. Why? What did Bernard Goetz do in 1984? Arushi.
No idea.
You're the grand champion of the last question, and
I
now
know.
You got nothing, right? Laurel, Bernard Goetz, who was he?
I have no idea.
Randy, who is Bernard Goetz?
Shot at Ronald Reagan.
Shot at Ronald Reagan. That's a good guess. That's a good guess. Paul Cross, do you know who Bernard Goetz is?
Yeah, and this is, I'm drawing a blank, but wasn't he like all the schemes, the financial
Oh,
Ponzi
you're thinking
thing?
Of Bernie Madoff.
Bernie Madoff.
Yeah,
no, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Coincidentally, Bernard Goetz was just brought up, I think it was this morning or yesterday morning, on the Brian Kilmeade show, because Brian was talking to Geraldo about the subway crime with the Marine veteran who choked that guy to death. And Bernard Goetz is the guy who in 1984 went onto the subway in New York City with a loaded pistol, and four young black men robbed him, and he shot all four of them. And he did not get charged. He was acquitted. He was charged with their with, and I don't remember if they were all killed or if any of them were killed. But Bernard Goetz was charged with shooting them. But the only crime he was convicted of was a gun crime. Was owning an illegal gun in New York City because they have very, very tough gun laws, and certainly in 1984 they did. But he
and
shot,
I should have known that. Yeah, you know what? I'm, and Bernie Goetz was mentioned in "We Didn't Start the Fire" by Billy Joel.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, absolutely right. All right, Arushi, next question.
Okay. All of my questions, by the way, will be very easy and things that the common American should know. Okay. In 2007, for his work...
True. Hey. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In 2007, for his work on climate change, he became the first U.S. vice president to win a Nobel Peace Prize.
Laurel.
Was it vice president? Is that what she said? Vice President?
Yes.
Were
Vice
you
President.
Even listening?
Al Gore. It's Al Gore.
Yes. Al Gore.
Al Gore. You're right. They were easy questions. Laurel, the next question.
Sure. The next question. It is, in 1995, this Prime Minister of Israel was assassinated at a peace rally.
Arushi.
The only Prime Minister I know is Netanyahu, and I'm not even sure he's a Prime Minister.
And he's still alive.
Yeah.
Randy.
I don't know.
Paul Cross.
Can't remember.
Was it Sadat?
That's a good guess, but no. It was Yitzhak Rabin.
Rabin. Yitzhak
Rabin. See, I knew I was going to say it wrong. I knew that's right. That was the one I knew I was going to say wrong.
Yitzhak Rabin.
Well, that's your second Middle East question. I think we may have to put a hold
it's
on that.
Is that or Pixar movies? That's what I got here.
Yes. Stay with the hard questions. I'd rather be stumped than have it too easy. 844-580-WDBO. Use the open mic and the WDBO app. We're going to have some more of our Friday Night Fun and Games generational trivia questions for you coming up in a few minutes. And, of course, if you want to join us to talk about 18-year-old cops and a no-fly zone over Disney, you're welcome to join us for that as well. My name is Joe Kelly. It is the Joe Kelly Show on a Friday night in the City Beautiful on WDBO.
You say some stupid things sometimes.
Yeah.
You think that the military is going to shoot down an airplane over top of Disney with 150,000 people in the park at any one time, and also all the building and construction and homes that are around Disney? You're nuts.
Yes, yeah, I never said they're going to shoot down a plane over Disney. That's you who said that, not me. But they would dispatch fighter jets that would seek to escort somebody out of the no-fly zone, and certainly shooting down is the absolute last resort. And you're right. It's why I didn't say shoot it down, because they're not going to shoot it down over the park unless they believe that the craft, whatever it is going to cause even more damage if they don't shoot it down.
The lady that says that if you can go to war, you can wear a badge is not necessarily true. Look how many people we have suffering from PTSD from the Iraq wars and the Afghanistan wars. All the atrocities they saw, all the death. I know somebody that was 21 years old, entered the force, didn't last a year because of all the things they saw, death, smells, and we're talking really bad smells. Now he has PTSD.
Yeah, I've got a friend who's an emergency room surgeon, and she tells me, because I asked her once, you must see horrible things. She goes, you know, it's not the sights. She says, it's the smells. It's the smells that you can never get out of your head. And I'm like, ugh, golly, that would count me out. Let's go to Jeff in Davenport, joining us at 844-580-WDBO. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you, sir?
Good. Real good.
I'm recently retired from law enforcement, 32 years, and with that I have the gift of hindsight. And when I was 20, I was in the police academy. And, you know, looking back, you know, I was right at the verge of maturity to take on the responsibility, the awesome responsibility that comes with being on the road. Solo. At 18, like your former caller, I was also an EMT, and I think I fit in well at 18, but to do that job. But at 20, I was right on the line to do that. So I think 18, in hindsight, is certainly too young to be a police officer. I'm sorry. A lot of the state I come from, state police, it's 19 to 29. But ironically, when I was in the police academy at 20, I wasn't old enough to buy the bullets for my gun. So I had to have I had to have my dad buy them
wow.
for me so that I could qualify in there. But, you know, I made it through. It's a different time. I feel bad for the guys and gals who are entering that career now with the body cams and things like that. And, you know, I'm not sure I would have made it out of this.
It's a different world. I mean, so much of our world, all of our professions have changed so very much. Jeff, thank you. In fact, coincidentally, as I said, I started radio when I was 15. I didn't have my driver's license yet. Much like your father had to buy your bullets, my father had to drive me to the radio station. I wasn't able to get myself to the radio station. So, all right, we do have some trivia questions here, generational trivia questions.
You guys been playing this game for how many weeks? And you're still trying to figure out your generations?
I know.
Oh, these letter things, man, they're confusing.
I know, and believe me, I'm working on it. I'm doing the best that I can. I think I'm Generation X. I'm reasonably sure about that. Where did we leave off? Can I ask the next question?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Arushi.
Yeah.
All right, here's your next question. The wife of a politician co-founded the Parents Music Resource Center that decried explicit music lyrics. What wife of a politician? Arushi.
You might as well just skip me at this point.
I'll skip Arushi. Plus, you're riding high on your victory, the one you got right. and by the way, I should point out, Arushi is one of the smartest people I've met, but she's young, and so she doesn't know the older person
I don't know
questions.
Pop culture, yeah, that's the thing.
If it was
like historical facts, I would know it.
Laurel, who?
Total guess, Tipper Gore.
Tipper Gore is exactly the right
wow,
answer.
And
oddly,
job.
We've had two Al Gore questions in our trivia tonight, which is weird. My name is Joe Kelly, along with our cast and crew here tonight. We're taking your calls. About 18-year-old cops, about no-fly zones over Disney, and of course, we're doing our generational trivia on a Friday night. We'll catch up with the news with Laurel coming up next, and back to your calls and trivia coming up after that. Stay right there. All right, so as some of you guys know, at least the team here knows, Laurel and Paul and Arushi and Randy and everybody knows that I've been having headphone problems this week because I broke a pair of headphones like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then I got a backup pair of headphones that I broke immediately. I mean, I broke it within the first 5 seconds of using them. And then I've grabbed a couple of old headphones and they don't sound very good. And it's really the only tool that we have in radio that we need is a good pair of headphones. So I went to Best Buy up in Altamont Springs this morning before I came to work. And I was amused. I chuckled because in the headphone section at Best Buy, first of all, there's a new Zelda game out. Evidently it was released today. And you should have seen the line of people lining up to get the new Zelda game. And Laurel, you're shaking your head, so you know about this, obviously.
I don't know what it's called, but I know all of my friends on Facebook where they were in like the midnight standing
yeah.
line release thing to go get it.
I got to Best Buy like 10 minutes before they opened at 10 a.m. and there was a long line. I'm like, what the hell? Why are people lined up at Best Buy? It's like it's Christmas or anything. What's going on here?
That's the equivalent of us in the 80s waiting in line for like Van Halen tickets or something.
Yeah.
You know.
So I was looking for new headphones, and while I was looking for new headphones, I chuckled because there was a mirror in the headphone aisle, and I thought, what kind of ding-dongs look in a mirror to see if they look good in the headphones. And then as I'm looking at our live video stream, I bought two pair of headphones today. One are earbuds and one are over-the-ear headphones. And I said, oh, these earbuds really make my hair look good. So I realized why there was a mirror in the headphone section at Best Buy. All right, you guys ready for some more trivia questions?
Yes.
Okay, I got the next question. Are you ready for this? Name the actor that played Major Nelson on I Dream of Jeannie. Arushi.
No.
Laurel.
I don't know.
Randy.
I know Barbara Eden.
That's a good guess. That's a very good guess. Paul Cross, do you know?
Yes.
Yes.
Good old Dallas, Larry Hagman.
Larry Hagman is the answer. Now, for extra credit, for everybody, this is not for Paul Cross, for everybody.
I won't know it.
Larry Hagman, dead or alive? Laurel.
Dead.
Arushi.
False.
Randy.
I don't know. Dead seems like a good guess.
Paul.
Dead.
Joe.
Dead.
He died in 2012. So yeah, he's
still dead.
Definitely not coming down for breakfast. Laurel, next question, please.
Sure. What was the name of the 90s British series where Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders played the outrageous duo of Patsy and Edna? Edina.
What was the name of the series?
Yeah.
You know what? This was a weird, wacky series.
My favorite series.
In England. And I remember there was an episode of The Good Place that featured that series. And darn it, I cannot think of the name of it. Randy, do you know it?
Absolutely Fabulous.
Yes. Wow. I've never even heard of any of this. I'm really so impressed.
Wow. Good for you, Randy.
Very funny.
Very nice. Yeah, it's very hokey, though, right? I mean, it's really it's like The Odd Couple.
It's British humor.
It's like The Odd Couple, but it's
and
women.
Very over the top.
Yeah. Let's see. Randy, what's our next question?
Whose personal Gmail messages were shared by WikiLeaks during the 2016 presidential campaign?
I think I know it.
All right, Arushin.
Okay, but if I get it and I get it wrong, do I get my points revoked?
No. You keep the one point you have.
Is it Hillary Clinton?
No.
Oh, man.
What's the question again?
So whose personal Gmail messages were shared by WikiLeaks during the 2016 presidential campaign?
Laurel, do you know?
No.
So hang on. It was a Democrat operative, but it was not a Democrat politician, if memory serves. It was like the chief of staff or something. It was not a common name, household name. Do you remember Paul Cross?
I don't.
So it was John Podesta.
Yeah. John Podesta, who I think was the chief of staff for Hillary Clinton at one point.
Do I get half a point?
Why would you get half a point?
I don't think I know how this game works.
I don't think you do.
Particularly because I don't think there are points.
Yes. All right, the next question. Before going solo in 1982, Lionel Richie sang with what group? Arushi.
The Jackson 5. I don't know.
That's a great guess. Absolutely wrong, but it's a great guess. Randy.
I don't know.
Laurel.
Total guess. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's also a great guess. It's not right. Paul Cross knows this one.
Yeah. Do I have to say it? Because I'm getting so many right, though. I just feel guilty.
Well, would you rather me say it?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. I'm the one who had the question.
So that's why I had to say it just now.
Yes, it's the Commodores.
Yeah, because you came up with it. Yeah.
Come on, let's sing it together. She's a brick house. She's mighty, mighty. When it all hang out. That's the Commodores. I love that song. Laurel, next question.
Yeah, Laurel, next question. He played the role of Noxima Jackson in the movie To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Gosh, that so it's got to be, wait, what's the character's name?
Noxima Jackson.
So it's either Wesley Snipes or who's the guy that died that was in Roadhouse? He was in Roadhouse.
Are you talking Patrick Swayze?
Patrick Swayze or Woody Harrelson.
It was Wesley Snipes.
Was it Wesley Snipes?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Why would you not say that was right? Why are you making me keep guessing?
I'm taking the point.
To see what you came up with.
He said a bunch of different things. I'm taking the point.
Yeah. Oh, Randy. So I didn't get the point?
Wait. So now there are points.
So now
okay,
there are.
I'm following along here.
All right, Arushi, what's the next question?
Okay. In 2007, Tony Blair is replaced by Gordon Brown as the prime minister of this country. Say it all together.
England.
England.
Well, yeah. Technically, the
Great Britain.
The Great, yes.
But yes.
Great Britain. Is it Great Britain?
Yes.
What is Great Britain?
It is England, Scotland, and Wales.
I wasn't. Oh, for heaven's sake!
But
a Jeopardy reference.
I wasn't
there.
Asking what Great Britain really is. Randy, what's the next question?
But I should get points.
What cooking competition show is filmed in a tent?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know.
Laurel.
Maybe. Is it the Great British Bake Off?
Yes, it is.
I've seen like 30 seconds of that show.
Wait a minute. They bake in a tent?
Yeah, outside.
It's like a big tent.
Wait, I think I knew that one too.
Well, you didn't say it.
After the fact.
Okay, Arushi gets a half a point for thinking the right answer.
They totally allow that on Jeopardy too. You can mail it in like 3 weeks later and you can still get credit for it, which is really, really awesome. Hang on. We're going to wrap up our generational trivia coming up in just a moment. Stay with us here on The Joe Kelly Show on WDBO. All right, are you guys ready for your next question?
Yes.
Arushi has our next question. Evidently, I skipped Arushi, and she just socked me during the commercial break there. So,
well, I have a difficult one. At least it was difficult.
We'll be the judge of that.
Okay. This former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff served as George W. Bush's Secretary of State in 2000.
All right. Randy.
I don't know.
Laurel.
I don't know.
Paul.
Don't know.
Was it not?
It probably was.
Wasn't it the black general?
Yes.
Colin Powell.
Yes.
Yes. Colin Powell. There we go. Hey, look, I got a point. How about that? All right, next question. In this 1983 film, Dustin Hoffman played both Michael Dorsey and Dorothy Michaels.
I think I know this one.
Arushi.
Rain Man.
Wrong.
Oh.
But I really dig your confidence. Randy.
It's Tootsie.
It is Tootsie. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Wait, I think I should have known that.
Yes, maybe you should have known that one. Randy, what's the next question?
What Big Bang Theory character never had their last name revealed?
I know this one. I want to answer it.
I've never seen an episode of The Big Bang Theory, although people tell me that that there's a character on the show that people think I am. So, Laurel, do you know the answer?
Oh, is it the guy that owns the comic book store?
No.
Okay, then I don't know.
Stewart? No.
Yes, yeah, Stewart. Okay.
Arushi, do you know?
Yes.
What is it?
It's Penny.
It is.
Now, who plays Penny?
Oh.
Kelly Cuoco.
Okay. They never reveal her last name?
No, because I don't know why, but she gets married and then she takes on the husband's last name, but her maiden name was never revealed.
They do change her father's name in the middle of the series.
Yes. It changed to like Wyatt or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I should get 4 points for knowing every single one of those questions.
This totally is not how this game works. Laurel, next question, please.
Okay. This one's easy. Ready? 90s hit for this band boy band include I Want It That Way and Larger Than Life.
Backstreet Boys.
Give somebody a chance.
Wow.
What? Come on.
Talk about
Joe knows his boy band.
Can I tell you why I know Backstreet Boys that way?
Do you know Backstreet Boys?
Because
is that
it was a scene in Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, jeez.
There was an epic scene. Yeah. There was an epic scene where Jake Peralta was doing one of those what do you call it when you put all the suspects up against a wall?
I don't know.
A lineup. He was doing a lineup, and he had everybody sing a line from you want it that way or you.
I want it that way.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Thank you, Paul Cross. Thank you, Laurel. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, Arushi. Thank you to you, our WDBO listeners, for being a part of the Joe Kelly Show here on a Friday night on WDBO. We'll be back with you Monday night, of course.